You are listening to a talk given at the Brisbane City Bible Forum. We hope you enjoy the presentation.
High school was a hard time for all of us, but it was an especially hard time for me because my last name was Chan, a very common name. And in my class, there were four Chans. I was one of four Chans. And so the teacher would just mark the roll going, Chan, 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 Chan. We wouldn't even say our first names, and we were just meant to know which Chan we were and say present at the right Chan moment. It was so degrading, it was so humiliating, it was so dehumanizing. How I longed to be just me, me on my own terms, my own identity. How I longed to be true to myself. Well, welcome to our talk series on three keys to happiness. Our three keys to happiness are success, freedom, and being true to ourselves. And what we've done is we've looked at each one of these topics one by one and seen what Jesus has to say about our topics in the Bible. And this comes in the form of a 20-minute talk from me now, followed by a little break, and then you guys can ask me any question that you want. And tonight, our final topic is being true to yourself. And what does it mean to be true to yourself? Well, basically it just means be who you are. Don't let other people tell you differently. Don't let other people judge you, but just be who you are. Be true to yourself. And it promises us a life of happiness. Now, Jesus has a story that can help us on being true to ourselves. He said, one day, two men went to a temple to pray to God, to get right with God. And the first man, we would have said, he's okay. He's a man who was very comfortable with who he was. He didn't let other people judge him. He was very happy with who he was. And he was a good man too. He was a family man, never cheated on his wife. He was a generous man. And he prayed a prayer to God, which basically went, thank you, God, that I'm true to myself. I'm not like other people. I don't let other people judge me. I've been true to myself. But the second man, he was the opposite. He was a creep, a traitor, a cheat. He's the sort of guy that would have taken your investment and put it in a Ponzi scheme. He's the guy that sends you a spam from the Nigerian prince. He's the guy that crypto locks your grandmother's computer and then holds it hostage for $1,000. And he prays the opposite sort of prayer. He says, dear God, you know what? I'm not okay. I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. And Jesus says, this guy, not the other guy, this guy, he got right with God. This guy was true to himself. And that's a bit of the story we don't get. How is it that this guy gets right with God and not the other guy? Why is this guy, according to Jesus, true to himself? Well, to answer this, we're going to have three parts of my talk. The first part, we'll look at, well, what does it mean to be true to yourself? In the middle part, problems with being true to yourself. And in the final part, what Jesus might say about being true to yourself. So let's begin with the first part of the talk. What does it mean to be true to yourself? Well, it means two things. The first thing is this. Just be who you are. Now, a few years ago, my wife and I had to go to a wedding that was on a day that was 40 degrees Celsius. It was sweltering hot. And you know at a wedding, there's a dress code. Guys are meant to dress up, shirt, tie, maybe a jacket. And we tried to dress our boys up, our three boys, Toby, Cooper and Jonty. And the oldest Toby, youngest Jonty, we got them to dress up with the pants and the shirt. But Cooper, our middle one, no matter how much we tried, he would not dress up. And he insisted on wearing what he wanted to wear, which was a red tank top, denim shorts, and rubber gum boots. Oh, my wife and I were horrified, but we couldn't make him wear what we wanted him to wear. This is what he wanted to wear. But when we got to the wedding, Cooper got more attention than the bride. You know the bride, she's in white, boring, but look at Cooper, red tank top, denim shorts, and gum boots. And all the parents were wishing, oh, why didn't we just let our kids wear what they wanted to wear? And all the men were wishing, well, why did I get to wear that as well? And everyone's thinking, good on Cooper for doing what he wanted to do. And that's what it means to be true to yourself. Be who you want to be. Don't listen to what other people tell you. Just be who you want to be. be true to yourself. It's a movie line, it's a plot line to the movie Billy Elliot. The boy wants to dance. It's not what his dad wants him to do, but it's what he wants to do. It's a storyline to Ben or like Beckham. The girls want to play football. It's not what their parents want them to do, but it's what they want to do. It's a storyline to Whippet. Ellen Page wants to do roller derby. It's not what her mum wants her to do, it's what she wants to do. She needs to be true to herself. If you go see your careers advisor, what's she going to tell you? Is she going to tell you to be a doctor, be a lawyer, be an accountant? No, that's what your Asian parents hope she's going to tell you. She's going to say what? Well, what do you want to be? Follow your dreams. Do what you love. Be true to yourself. That's why our hero, Steve Jobs, he didn't listen to what other people said. He dropped out of college and he started up his own company, and he gave us Apple, iPad, the iPhone. He was true to himself and he did what he loved. Bronnie Ware is a palliative care specialist, and she's put out this book called The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying. So people say die, they tell her what their regrets are. Top 5 regrets, the number one regret of those who are dying is this: I wish I had had the courage to just be me and not have listened to what other people told me. I should have had the courage to just be who I was. So that's what it means to be true to yourself. Be who you are. Don't let other people tell you. Don't let other people judge you. Just be who you want to be. Follow your dreams. Do what you love. And the second thing it means to be true to yourself is this: you need to believe. Believe in yourself. I love watching cricket, but my wife doesn't get cricket. She says, it's boring, it's not exciting. And I try to tell her, no, you don't get it. Cricket is not exciting because anything exciting happens. Cricket is exciting because something exciting might happen. And that's what keeps me on the edge of your seat. And Australia used to do quite badly, but lately we've been doing well, maybe because of this guy, Mitchell Johnson, who's just retired. But this guy used to be a cricketing joke. But then he turned it all around a few years ago and became the best fast bowler in the world. So at an interview, they asked him, well, what's the difference? What's happened? And he said, I started believing in myself. That's what you have to do to be true to yourself, believe in yourself. Every Western child grows up with this story, the little engine who could. And we all know the story, that this little train comes to a big hill, tries to get up it, can't. Tries to get up it again, can't. And then finally says, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. And with that, he wills himself over the hill. And that story has taught every child in the modern Western world to never doubt, never listen to what other people tell you, but if you just believe, you can achieve anything you want to do. In the movie Legally Blonde, Reese Witherspoon, right at the end, at the climax, gives the graduation speech. And in a speech that can be heard in any university, any college, all over the Western world, she says, you've got to have faith in other people, but most importantly, you've got to have faith in yourself. You've got to believe. You just got to believe in yourself. It's if you go to the motivational blogs, this is what they say: believe you can, and you are halfway there. Stay focused and never give up. Work hard, dream big. You just got to believe in yourself. And that's why our heroes are Nelson Mandela and Martin Luther King, because they didn't listen to what other people said. They dared to dream and they never stopped believing, and because of that, they triumphed. And that's what it means to be true to ourselves. And we too can do the same thing. But there's some problems with being true to yourself. And I can think of at least two. The first one is this: it creates a reality distortion field where you are always right and everyone else is wrong. Now, I lived for 5 years in America. This is what the world map looks like in every American home and every American classroom. Can you see what they've done? Can you see what they've done in America? They have put the USA in the middle of the world map. And to do that's not easy. You've got to split Asia and Europe in half, the largest continent you split in half just to put you in the middle of the map. And then I said this to an American, can you see what you've done? You guys have made yourselves the middle of the world. And he just looked at me and said, well, what's wrong with that? And then he said, everyone does it. And then he said to me, what does grid meantime mean? For the people of Great Britain, they're saying we are in the middle of time. We define time as us. You're either in front or behind us, but we are in the middle of time. And for the Asians, China literally means the middle kingdom. So the Chinese have this idea, the whole world, the whole universe revolves around China, which means we are in the middle. And that's the problem with culture. If you're so lost in your own culture, you start thinking you are normal and everyone else is abnormal. Take us Australians recently, for example. We are normal and the rest of the world is abnormal. To us Australians, the English were there to stuck up. The Americans were there too serious. The Asians were there too hardworking. And the Scandinavians were there just too clean.
What about the Kiwis?
They keep beating us in rugby, so we can't say anything about them. Until we beat them in rugby, you don't earn the right to say anything about them. But that's our problem. But what if they are normal and we're the abnormal ones? Because to the English, we lack hierarchy. To the Americans, we're joking around too much. To the Asians, we're lazy. And to the Scandinavians, we're disordered. This is the problem. How do we work out what's normal and what's abnormal? Children, when they grow up, they begin with an egocentric universe where they are the only ones that exist and everyone revolves around them and their needs. If they're cold, you've got to warm them. If they're hungry, you've got to feed them. If they're tired, you better settle them. They begin in an egocentric universe. But as they grow up and as they mature, and part of maturing is this, you work out, hang on, I'm not the only one on this planet. And there are other people with their own needs and with their own feelings, and every now and then they might be right and I might be wrong. And that's the problem with being true to yourself. It locks us into an egocentric universe where we are always right by definition and everyone is wrong. It puts us into a closed universe where we are not open to critique or improvement or a better reality. It actually makes us like a child again in an egocentric, naive universe where we can never be wrong, and in any disagreement, the other person by definition is wrong. So it starts off sounding really tolerant, but it's actually a very intolerant position, and it's actually a form of colonialism where I impose my truth upon you. Now, the term reality distortion field comes from the Steve Jobs biography by Walter Isaacson. And reality distortion field was a term invented by Steve Jobs' co-workers to explain that his ego, Steve Jobs' ego, is so big, it distorted the way he viewed reality. And he thought he would just simply bend reality to suit his own ego. Steve Jobs had a narcissist personality disorder. He was impossible to work with and he was disloyal to his friends. But you and I don't have a narcissist personality disorder. We don't have the ego size as Steve Jobs. And that means we are open to the possibility we might be wrong. And there might be improvement and a new and better reality out there. That's the first problem with being true to yourself. You are never open to improvement or better reality. You are locked in this reality distortion field where you are always right and everyone else is wrong. The second problem with being true to yourself is this. It blames people for their misfortunes. Now, when I was a child growing up in Australia, our sporting heroes were Dennis Lilly and John Newcombe. Now, what do they have in common? This was an age when it was fashionable for men to be hairy. So you actually had your shirt unbuttoned, big moustache, just to show off your chest hair. Now, when I was a little kid, I was watching this James Bond movie, He Only Lived Twice, and there's this scene where James Bond is in a hot tub, surrounded by Japanese chicks, And James Bond's Asian counterpart spy is sitting in a hot tub all by himself with no Asian women around him. And the Asian counterpart spy says to James Bond, "You know what it is they like about you? It's the hair on your chest." Women love to run their fingers across a man's hairy chest. For that scene, they had to tape on extra fake hair on James Bond's chest. And as a little Asian boy watching that, I got really sad. Because I thought, I'm never going to have a hairy chest, and no girl is ever going to like me. And no matter how much I believed, I wasn't going to be able to get a hairy chest. Now, Mitchell Johnson can bowl a cricket ball at 150 kilometres an hour, but I can't. No matter how much I believe, I can't bowl like he can. So does that mean I've got the problem? See, the problem with the message is this: if you can do anything if you believe, and something you can't, it blames you for the problem. You're just not trying hard enough. You're not believing hard enough. It actually says to underprivileged people, you are responsible for your misfortune. It says to the hospital cleaner, hey, why are you cleaning floors? You could be an astronaut. You just need to believe. What's wrong with you? It says to the child in the slums or the refugee camps or the child slave worker, why are you still where you are? You could be a rock star. You just need to believe. So if you can be anything you want to be, you only just believe, and then you're not who you want to be, it puts the problem with you. Steve Jobs has a famous speech to graduating Harvard students where he says, you can be anything you want to be, do what you love, follow your dreams. But he doesn't say do what you love to the Chinese factory workers making his iPads. They're not doing what they love, they're just working in a factory because they have bills to pay. So the message to be true to yourself only works in the privileged West, where we're not as oppressed by the social, political, or economical powers that work in other places. And it says to the underprivileged, non-Western world, you are to blame because you're not trying hard enough. So rather than being a liberating message, it's a very oppressive message. So how can we be true to ourselves? Well, what does Jesus say? He uses as a hero this broken man who prays to God, God, I'm not okay. Actually, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. And Jesus says, to be true to ourselves, there are two things we can learn from this man. The first thing is this. Just admit it. Admit it. Things are not okay. I'm a sinner. Things are not okay. Now, a few years ago, I bought myself an Alfa sports car. I'd always wanted an Alfa sports car. Hey, it's Italian. What could go wrong with an Italian sports car? Well, everything used to go wrong, but my engine hardly ever ran. It was always broken down. So I used to just sit in our backyard on the lawn. So my wife nicknamed it the Garden Gnome, because that's all I did, sit in our backyard, never moving. Its worst problem was rust. It had so much rust. And one year I had to get it through Reggio, and I thought, I can't cut out the rust, it's too much rust, so I've got a guy to just paint over the rust. And I got it through Reggio, yes, for another year. But only a few months later, the rust just bubbled through the surface again, because it was there, it was internal. Like, you can't just wish it away, you can't just paint over it, you can't just believe it away. And you and I, Colin Bond, have a very similar problem to rust. It's inside us, not outside us. It's inside us, and it's slowly bubbling away. And the Bible uses many words to describe it. In the story, the man uses sin to describe the secrets, the shame, and the darkness that's in his heart. And we all have it in different forms. Last year, a good friend of mine received a bonus at work that was so big, he was able to pay off his house and buy a second car. And then a friend of mine also at the same time got a bonus with that. He paid off his house, bought himself a Porsche, and bought another house. Now, 90% of me was so happy for them. But 10% of me was a little bit envious. And the Bible calls my envy sin. That's sin. That envy is sin, and we all have it. With that envy, I'm actually shaming and dishonoring my friends because I should be happy for them. I shouldn't be envying them. I'm shaming and dishonoring myself because I shouldn't be feeling that way. And I'm shaming and dishonoring God because I should just trust that He has a better plan for me. The Bible calls it sin, and it's in all of us. And if we're true to ourselves, we would admit everything's not okay. Now, I have three boys, Toby, Cooper, and Jonty, 8, 6, and 4. They're in that amazing phase of life where they actually think, I'm okay. They think I'm perfect. One day they said to me, is it true, Dad, you know everything? And I said, yes, son, it is true. I know everything. So right now, they think I'm perfect. But if I am to be true to myself and true to them, I often tell them, hey, listen, you've got to understand, I'm not perfect. In fact, I'm far from perfect. I have many issues. I'm finite. I'm fallen. I'm fallible. You need to know that. And I hope, I pray to God, I do not hurt you. I do not shame you. I do not dishonor you one day. That's what it means to be true to yourself and true to them. But if we take it one step further, we need to be also true to God and say, you know what, God, you know everything. You see my heart. I have shame, I have dishonor, I have secrets, I have darkness in my heart. And Jesus says, that's okay, just admit it. And humble ourselves before God and admit it. Things are not okay, I'm a sinner. And the second thing we learn from that man is this. Call out to help. It's okay to say to God, have mercy, I need your help. One Saturday, my wife and I went to a beach, Bondi Beach, and there was a strong current that day. My wife got taken out of a little rip, and fortunately there was a life-saving carnival, but unfortunately I was so busy racing I didn't see my wife. So fortunately someone else saw my wife and helped her come in. But my friend went to a neighbouring beach, and it was a big surf day, and my friend is called Pierre, and he's a strong open ocean swimmer. He thought, I'm just going to have a swim. But there was a big rip that took him out, big surf day, and it took him out to a part of the beach they call the whirlpool, where the rips meet, and it just holds you under the water, and you come back up. Holds you under the water, and comes back up. My friend Pierre suddenly realized he was stuck in his rip. He couldn't get out of it because he was in the middle of multiple rips. He was being held under, and he realized, I'm going to drown. And he said, it's true, you do see your life flash before you. And at that moment, he said, I had to do something I had never done before. And that was, for the first time in his life, as a strong open ocean swimmer, he stuck his arm up and signaled to the lifeguard for help. And he said, at that moment when he did that, that was the most humbling moment of his life, to realize you are helpless and you need help. And if we're true to ourselves, we've got to admit things are not okay. I cannot just wish my problems away. I can't save myself. I actually need help. And that's the message of the Bible. God helps us. He comes down and lifts us up and He saves us. So how can we be true to ourselves? It comes down to this. We have two versions of reality. First version of reality is this. Everything's okay. I don't care what other people say. If they think I've got a problem, they've got the problem, not me. I'm okay. But that's just denial. That's a reality distortion field. There's a second version of reality which Jesus gives us. And He says, just admit it. Things are not okay. That may be very humbling, but it's very liberating because at that moment, God will have mercy and He will save us. And the Bible says God sends Jesus to be perfect so we don't have to be perfect, and Jesus' Spirit then lives in us to make us perfect. And Jesus ends the story by saying this. This is his punchline. Whoever lifts himself up before God, God will bring you down. But if we humble ourselves before God, God will lift us up. And so we keep saying everything's okay, there'll be this moment where God says, you know what, everything's not okay. You cannot be in reality. But if we just humble ourselves, and it is humbling, it'll be the most liberating moment of our life when God says, you know what? You are okay. Because my son Jesus is perfect, so you can be perfect. And then Jesus' Spirit lives in us to make us perfect, to make us okay. Alright, so that's how we can be true to ourselves. I'm going to hand back to Glenn, and he's going to say what's happening.
short break now. Some more food is going to come out shortly. I'm going to pop my mobile phone number up there. You can text in a question, have a chat, buy a drink, and we'll resume in about 15 minutes with some question and answer.